So this weekend at the University of Virginia, it's Parents Weekend. I came back pretty late last night, so if my sermon is not as coherent, I have an excuse. No, I'm kidding. But it was really good. That's why I wasn't here as part of the festivities here yesterday. But my daughter was entering into a different phase of her nursing training, and she asked me to be part of a white coat ceremony, and so I was going to be there, and that's where I was. Now, thankfully, my son was able to drive up. He actually has made it back from Fort Hood, from Texas, and he's local again for us, and so he was able to come and join us for that. It was really nice. My other daughter is in North Carolina and couldn't be there, and so my son loves Subarus. Does anybody in here have a Subaru and love it? Okay, a bunch of. So Trey loves Subarus, and I'm kind of partial to them myself because they're good cars. I do not get any money from what I just said to you, but if Subaru would like to contact me for a commercial, I would be very, if you're watching now, Subaru. So my Subaru was parked next to Trey's, my son's Subaru, and we took Gina's car for somewhere else, and we both commented as we were driving away that they were probably telling stories to each other about us. Two Subarus sitting in a parking space swapping stories, right? And then we started down the whole road of, oh, my driver takes really good care of me. And then the other's like, oh, I haven't had oil in a very, very long time. Oh, listen to my engine purr. Oh, listen to my engine. It sounds like an exploding lawnmower. But we had a good time. We had a good time. But it reminded me of kind of what we were really needing to talk about today, which is the remembrance of our story. Each one in here has a story, actually multiple stories. Our life is made of a lot of stories. When someone asks you about yourself, they're kind of wanting to know something of that story about you. When you were dating, remember dating? Yeah, kind of. When you're on a job interview, remember job interviews that didn't have Zoom involved, you know, we're sharing story. We're kind of like, here's who I am. Here's how I got here. Here's what's going on. We all have those stories, and those stories are actually a way for us to make meaning of those experiences that we have. We have the God-given capacity to remember, right? Some of that slipping away over time, but we have this capacity to hold on to who we are by remembering our stories, or even coming to understand something about ourselves, retelling that same story. My father-in-law could tell some stories. Oh, he could tell some amazing stories from various parts of his life. But the thing that I learned early in my relationship with the family is that when he would tell a story, you would hear a slightly different version from time to, well, no, every time you sat down with him, the story would shift. And there would be different things that would be emphasized and other things that would be forgotten. Oh, no, you said this. I'd made that mistake one time. I tried to fill in the story for him. That was dumb. Don't do that. That was a dumb thing for me to do. Now, people who do therapy have learned how to work with those stories, because there are different times that the story of our life will be told in different ways, in such a way that we're using to, you know, consciously or subconsciously try to make sense of who we are and what's going on. So each one of us in this room Each one of us has a whole encyclopedia, a whole storybook of stories inside of us. Some of them hard and some of them beautiful. Some of them are ones that have shaped us and formed us. Sometimes there are stories from other people. We have lots of stories on this table, right? And let me stop here and say, I did my best with the names of that group. And if I mutilated a name, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And I'll be happy to make an apology to you directly. But I wanted you to know that that was no disrespect if I messed up a name. Now, my mother and father, I named as part of that group. Mom and Dad had their own stories. They came together at really kind of almost close to a generation apart from each other. And they both kind of grew up being impacted by the Great Depression here in the United States. And so there were all kinds of stories in my family about you don't waste anything. Was it waste not? Thank you very much, you know. So there was all these stories about things that, oh, we have to be careful with this and we have to be careful with that. But you know, when you even spent time with them and their stories, they had different versions of that experience, right? So my father's experience of the Great Depression was and the impact it had on his family, culturally and socially and economically, was very different than my mother's. They were both impacted by that, but their stories were unique to themselves. And it shaped the way, those experiences shaped the way that they made sense of their life. Now, today, I came around to invite you to remember, to begin remembering your story. Our series is going to be called Your Money Story, and so I want to invite you to reflect on a lot of different aspects of that story, but it will include some questions about, you know, your relationship with the resources that you have been given in this world. This set of gifts that oftentimes is represented through the money, through the resources that you have. Now, there's your money story, my money story, my father's, my mother's, your influential saints and their story about this. There's also, as we go through, God's money story. So a big part of what I've been tasked to do, actually, this is what I'm supposed to be doing anyway, instead of cracking jokes, you know. Is to help us to remember God's story. And we know that much of God's story and the interpretation of it and the way that we make sense of it comes from here, right? So what you just heard a moment ago read beautifully, thank you very much for the reading, was an important story that has some cues in there for us to not miss. It's easy to just kind of like hear the story and sort of not think through some of the details, but let me just kind of lift up a couple of things to you. Now remember that Moses, and we've talked about this recently, Moses has marched the people of Israel out of Egypt, right? And they escaped a lot of turmoil and a lot of danger in the midst of that. They were chased for a while. They made it through the Red Sea, and then they're on the path to the mountain. They get to the mountain, and my goodness gracious, all the Ten Commandments come. Well, there's two versions of it, you know, because Moses breaks one in anger. Do you remember the story? This has a lot of Charlton Heston in it, right? So Moses helps them make it into the wilderness, and 2 months into the trip, they start complaining about the menu. Did you hear that? They were complaining about the menu. listen, there's not enough. We have to go and forage for food. We have to go and find this. And oh my gosh, you know. And you know, it would have been much better for us to be back in Egypt. So at least we would have meat on the menu. Did you hear that? I'm not making that up. Show us some hamburgers, please. Because we don't have what we want. And this is hard. It is like hiking with elementary age kids. I'm tired. I'm hungry. My feet hurt. Well, that's kind of like hiking with me now. But join with me, please. Oh, you stop. You're good. Okay. They're complaining about the menu, and they fuss, and they mess around, and just say awful and terrible things. And they're complaining to the place that, you know, Moses goes to God. It's like 2 months in, and we're dealing with this. So what does God do? God provides for them. He says, I want you to do this, Moses. And he sets up the circumstance, and then he has them witness the manna coming down and, you know, being on the ground. All you have to do is go pick it up, right? And there were probably complaints about that. Oh, it hurts my back to pick it up. It's too much. I don't want to. It's hot out here, you know. But God gives them the bread of heaven, the manna on the ground. And there's different versions of an understanding of what that is, but it is functionally bread for them, the way that I've called it, biscuits. All right, biscuits from heaven. You with me? Now that's something. And then, and we sometimes miss this because we get so excited about the manna, we forget that there's quail that starts showing up like every day. You with me? The manna comes all the time. The quail comes all the time. I have used this phrase with you before. You will hear it again. It's chicken and biscuits. Right? Now, who here doesn't like chicken and biscuits? Okay, good, because I was going to throw them out, whoever they were. God provides. God provides. And he provides even in the face of a lack of faithfulness. Even in the face of a lack of, oh my gosh, can we even trust God for this? No, we trusted God to march us out of Egypt. We trusted God to cross the Red Sea. We trusted God with all of this, but I don't know if he's going to provide food for us tomorrow. Right? So God says, here you go, chicken and biscuits. And I want you to go out every day and collect, you know, what you need. Take about an omer's worth. We can talk about what that is. But take about, you know, a reasonable amount for you. And, you know, get that and eat it every day. When you get to the Sabbath, you know, collect enough for 2 days the day before. Simple enough, right? So off they go into this whole business of collecting chicken and biscuits as is provided for them. They're asked to kind of take care to get just enough to meet this. Now, what did some people do? You know, some people are like, I'm a big boy. I need more than that. So they collect, and it looks like they're getting more than what they need, but there are some people that are, I don't need that much, right? What happens, though? What happens? When they get it all together and they start measuring out, there is an equitable amount. Why would that be part of the Bible, right? Why would that be so important that the detail would be included in that? And that is because there is this understanding that God gives us what we need and gives us enough to share it with everyone. And isn't that Grace Ministries? Isn't that, you know, when we take, and, you know, certainly we do a lot of kind of like buying and selling to raise money. By the way, if you haven't hit that sale across the way, then, you know, today's your day,
right?
But that goes to provide for our missions. It also provides an opportunity for us to take what we have and to give it to somebody else. You know, there's the sales, of course, but then there's a lot of people that are reaching in their pocket. I have pockets. Reaching in their pocket and opening up what's there and putting it in the plate, you know. All right, this is all I have for now. Taking what we have and letting it go into the hands of the one who made that happen in the first place. So what I wanted to tell you, that God's story is beautiful and certainly provides, but provides in a way where those people did not need to have to break their backs, did not need to have a spreadsheet to make sure everybody got what they needed. It was given in an equitable way that provided for the needs. That's God's story. That's God's money story. It's actually one of them. Now, over these next few weeks, we will take an opportunity to kind of reflect on God's money story, a little bit of ours too. And how we will work through ours is a bunch of different ways. We have a journal that we'll provide for you. You can download that today onto a tablet. You can print it if you like. If you need help printing, let us know. We'll make sure that you can get that. That journal will go through the readings for this week, and every day there will be readings and an opportunity to reflect on where God is, how God is at work, and your own story and how your own story is at work here as well. You can take that journal, work through it privately, work through it together in a group. On Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., I am hosting a Zoom call. We will work our way through that. The first one is this Tuesday. You should have found an insert inside of your bulletin, and there you'll find registration information. If you need to sign up, then just get that back into us or use the code there, and I'd love to see it. If you can't make it this Tuesday, then you know, we'll talk about you. No. Got your attention, didn't I? If you can't make it on Tuesday, then you can still sign up and come into it later. So it's an open group. We just need to have registrations because of Zoom. And there will be some other things that are part of what we will do together. The art project that Sharon mentioned. Inside of the offering plate, it's a really nice spirals. We got some good-looking spirals in there, Sharon, but we're going to work through this with some art projects. There'll be some other things that you can do to be part of this as well. Don't be afraid of this. This is just a conversation. What you can do in terms of making things happen here, and maybe expanding things here in our ministries, great. Want you to do that. But also, who you are as a person of faith, and how you make sense of all the resources that you have, that's the conversation that we'll want to have with you simultaneously. So sign up, read, come to worship, and we will work our way through this in a good way through the month of November. And then something happens in December, I don't know what, something happens, and we'll see what happens, right? So may God bless you. May you do your homework. And as you are able to, I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.